are listening to the Pronk Pop Show, presented by Raymond Thomas Pronk, the People's Paladin Pronk, propagating faith, family, friends, freedom first. Broadcasted by Renaissance Radio, Radiating Reason, and KDUX Web Radio. Podcasted by ProncPops.wordpress.com and KDUXWebRadio.wordpress.com. You are listening to KDUX Web Radio, broadcasting live from Richland College in Dallas, Texas, with a voice of Richland College. My name is Raymond Thomas Pronk, the presenter of the Pronk Pop Show. Views expressed on this show are my own, unless otherwise stated, and do not reflect the opinion of KDUX Web Radio, Richland College, or the Dallas County Community College District. Welcome to the Pronk Pop Show. This is the Thursday edition. Well, guess what happened today in Congress in the House of Representatives? There was a resolution passed. It was a rules resolution concerning how they're going to go about the impeachment inquiry that largely gave all the power to who? Adam Schiff. He's chairman of the Intelligence Committee that has been lying about testimony in his own committee. As a matter of fact, a week ago or so, he lied about what President Trump said. And then when people mentioned that, he said, oh, it was just a parody. A parody going over national television? It was a parody? When all he had to do was read the transcript? You see, you can't read the transcript. President Trump is right. Read the transcript of the telephone conversation, and there's nothing in there that's illegal. And that is the facts of the situation. Now, I want to describe the vote and some of the reactions. I'm going to play the Republican reaction to this, but I want to put it in a bigger context because you got to step back. Both Democrats and Republicans knows what's going to happen next in terms of the Department of Justice. There's an investigation going on that ultimately will result in a grand jury being called and evidence presented to the grand jury, and a number of high-level government officials in the Obama administration are going to face indictment. That's the real story that they don't want you to know about. They're trying to put it off and put it off, but it's going to happen. So what do you have to do? You have to have a cover-up, and this cover-up is in itself an obstruction of justice because you're using it to prevent or try to prevent. There's no way they're going to prevent this. The real conspiracy between Hillary Clinton and her campaign, the Obama administration, the Democratic Party, to do what? To smear Donald Trump. Hopefully to come up with something, and they came up with nothing, that would knock him out of the race. In other words, an October surprise, but they had nothing. So they made it up. When you don't have any dirt on him, you make up dirt. And that's the whole Christopher Steele Dorsey act. That's what they don't want you to know. And it was paid for by who? The Hillary Clinton campaign and the Democratic National Committee. Also, what they don't want you to know is the Ukrainian government, not the Russian government, although I'm sure the Russians did some of this too, but the Ukrainian government was interfering in the 2016 election. But on who were they favoring? Hillary Clinton. That's the investigation that Donald Trump wanted Ukraine to investigate. What was the Ukrainian government, the previous government, doing interfering in the 2016 election? Instead, they go on and on, a quid pro quo, quid pro quo. The only quid pro quo was what Joe Biden brags about. Like I said, he's not the smartest guy on the block. Brags about, and there's a video online, you can watch it, that he threatened the Ukrainians they weren't going to get aid. They weren't going to get over $1 billion of aid if they didn't fire the prosecutor. And what was the prosecutor about to do? Launch an investigation. investigation of Burisma, and that's the company that pays Joe Biden and his friend each $83,000 a month for 5 years. That's a quid pro quo. You will get the money when you fire the prosecutor. And what did the Ukrainian government do? It fired the prosecutor. And what Biden will say, well, it was a corrupt prosecutor, but wait a minute. The quid here was American aid. See, that's the irony here. They say what Trump did in his telephone conversation with Zelensky was indirectly threatened that they wouldn't get the aid. The Ukrainian government didn't know for almost 2 months that it was being held up. They got the aid. What President Trump wanted to do is have the Ukrainian government investigate what the Ukrainian government was doing, interfering with in our elections, which is not only legitimate, all Americans should want to know that. So what's interesting is this so-called impeachment inquiry, in point of fact, is two things. It's a cover-up. They're trying to cover up so you don't see, it's not going to work, by the way, that the fact that the Department of Justice at some point is going to go to the grand jury, and I'm talking about U.S. Attorney John Durham's investigation, over a 30-year prosecutor that's gone after Democrats and Republicans. He has integrity. People have confidence in him, and they're waiting to see. And that's the shoe that really the Democrats are afraid of. Because when this comes out, this will be the biggest political scandal in United States history. It's called Spygate. I call it a little bit longer, the Clinton-Obama-Democrat criminal conspiracy. This is not a theory, folks. This was a conspiracy using government resources, assets, capabilities to spy on the American people, Donald Trump and the people in the Republican campaign working for him. And they did it illegitimately because they misrepresented to the court what was going on. They didn't tell the court, other than a footnote that doesn't spell it out, that it was Hillary Clinton and the Democratic National Committee, her campaign, paying for the so-called Christopher Steele dossier, which is Russian disinformation. And Christopher Steele has an animus. He doesn't like Trump. So he's making things up. And he even said in a British court testimony that there's no way to verify this. They're just rumors. It's raw intelligence. It's not even raw intelligence. I think it's total fiction. And you can go and read the Christopher Steele dossier if you want. It's very salacious, but there's absolutely no way to verify. That's why for many, many months, big lie media, and I mean the television networks and the few remaining big city papers, stayed away from it. They knew if they published it, they'd be sued and probably lose their shirt, probably lose their company, because there was no way to find the source and question them. It's what in court is called hearsay evidence, which isn't evidence. It's inadmissible because it's hearsay. Oh, I heard about something. Well, that's not evidence. And that's largely what the Christopher Steele dossier is. Initially, it was opposition research, hoping to find something illegitimate with Donald Trump's business dealings in Russia. They found nothing, absolutely nothing. And then they made it up. And after the election, when, surprise, surprise, Donald Trump won, they repurposed that Christopher Steele dossier into a smear campaign that became Donald Trump was colluding. Conspiring is what is the legal phrase. But conspiracy, as the Mueller report pointed out, they found no evidence of conspiracy or collusion with Russia by either Donald Trump or anyone in his campaign. That's the conclusion. There was no crime. Now, what are the Democrats trying to do? They're trying to impeach him. Now, if you are a regular listener to the show, you know I'm in favor of that because I don't support the Democrat or Republican Party. I think this is going to seriously damage the Democratic Party. The dirty little secret in Washington that they don't want you to know is people are leaving both parties. They're disgusted with both the Democrat and Republican Party. They don't listen to the people anymore, and that's always dangerous. Who do they listen to? The people that most of the congressmen and senators are bought and paid for. As a matter of fact, I would say nearly all of them are. Now, there's nothing wrong with listening to your constituents. I'm a big fan of that. But what's largely going on, whoever makes the big campaign contributions, first of all, has access to these politicians, and most of them go along with what the special interests, the people that make the big campaign contributions, want. That's the facts of life, and that's why if you keep voting Democrat or Republican, all you're going to get is the status quo. But what the Democrats passed today is largely giving the power for a while to Adam Schiff, the chairman of the House Intelligence Committee. That's a notorious liar. That's his reputation. And what's shameful about it, the Republicans can't call witnesses, and Schiff is stopping them from asking questions of witnesses, and that's what I'm going to play. In other words, these rules are, behind closed doors, secret star chamber, kangaroo court. That's my characterization of it. The most recent run, this is a secret Soviet-style inquiry. Let's hear what the Republicans really think about this. And I'm going to play first Jim Jordan and Scalise, who's, I believe he's not the majority leader in the House, but a whip. But I could be wrong here. Let's listen in.
That we've never seen before. This isn't like Benghazi. This isn't like anything else. This is an impeachment inquiry. And in fact, Speaker Pelosi's resolution confirms that it's an impeachment inquiry, yet every other impeachment inquiry we've had in the history of our country, all three, have allowed both sides to call witnesses, have allowed the White House to participate. That's not happening right now. And in fact, not only is it happening, but I think it's important for Jim Jordan to note what just started happening today in this committee, where they're trying to impeach a president behind closed doors without any due process.
Now, that was Steve Scalise, Republican Louisiana. He is the House Minority Whip. And now here is Jim Jordan, a member of the House Intelligence Committee.
Thank you, Steve. Thank you for your leadership. I think most of you know that Chairman Schiff has prevented the witness from answering certain questions we have during the deposition. You know, one of the things you do in these depositions is you ask the basics. Who, what, when, where, why? You ask those questions. When we asked the whistleblower who he spoke to after important events in July, Adam Schiff says, no, we're not going to let him answer that question. Even though at the start of every one of these depositions, and you all know this already, every one of the start of every single one, he says, this is not classified. He tells us that. The witness has their counsel there, their lawyer there. They don't need Adam Schiff being chairman and lawyer. But that's in effect what happened today, and he would not let the witness. And look, the Democrats run out here and say, oh, the Republicans are trying to figure out who the whistleblower is. We're trying to figure out who a witness list is. The resolution that the speaker has just filed, at some point she points this out in the resolution, this is going to go to the Judiciary Committee, if in fact they push it there. There will be witnesses called. We'd like to figure out who those witnesses should be so the American people can get the facts, get the truth, and we know who these individuals are. So that it seems interesting to me that Chairman Schiff is so sensitive. I mean, pointed out last week, there are 435 members of Congress. One of them, knows who the whistleblower is. More importantly, who the sources are for the whistleblower that were the basis of him filing this complaint. And somehow he doesn't want anyone else to know that. Mr. Schiff and his staff are the only ones in America who can know. And as evidence about his sensitivity, you saw it on display today when we tried to ask the witness certain questions and Mr. Schiff would not let him answer.
Among those questions, are you asking for names that the witness has been in contact with?
That's usually what you do when you want to know who he spoke to.
Okay, does he answer?
He won't. He wouldn't. The chairman wouldn't let him.
But the Democrats are contending that that's a process of elimination to try to figure out who the whistleblower is.
No, it's a process of figuring out who we are going to call as witnesses. We did a letter last week. You all saw the letter. It came from Ranking Member Nunes, Ranking Member McCall, and myself, where we said, go read the complaint. Bullet point number one on page one of the complaint. What does the so-called whistleblower says? What does he say? Over the past 4 months, more than half a dozen U.S. officials formed the basis of this effort and this complaint that he's filing. I want to know who those more than half a dozen officials are. We want to call them as witnesses, determine their... It's tough to determine someone's credibility if you don't know who they are and you can't put them under oath and ask them questions. Everyone should know that.
What about Mr. Vindman's concerns that he raised in his opening statement that the ask to investigate the Bidens was to potentially undermine national security? What's your reaction to that?
My reaction is always to say what I said this morning. There are four fundamental facts that have never changed. Never changed. Mr. Vindman is not the first one we've talked to who has been on the call. We've heard from President Trump and President Zelensky. We got the transcript. Both President Trump and President Zelensky said no conditions, no pressure, no pushing, no quid pro quo. We've got the transcript that shows that. We know the Ukrainians knew, did not know at the time of the call that aid had been withheld. And tell me what action President Zelensky or the Ukrainians took to get the aid turned back on. Did he do a press conference? Did he issue a statement? Did he say he was going to investigate and do certain things? None of that happened. Those four facts have never changed. Even though you got all this stuff that Adam Schiff wants to talk about and leak from these depositions, these are all just, that's all it is. None of the basic things have ever changed.
The meeting never happened. The meeting that the Ukrainians wanted did not happen. And he raised concerns, Vindman raised concerns that did not happen amid this push for an investigation into the Bidens. That was a concern he raised with the National Security Council lawyer.
President Zelensky and President Trump met at the United Nations.
But he said the meeting that they were trying to get this meeting. It didn't happen.
President Trump and President Zelensky met at the United Nations. Yeah, I don't.
And the money was released. Well, one point.
Now, Scalise made a point. The money has been released.
One point I think that needs to be made on top of what Jim said just happened today. Adam Schiff, among many things, has been trying to claim that this is a fair process by saying that Republicans are allowed to ask questions. Now, he gets to choose all the witnesses and him and himself only, which means it's not a fair process on the face. But even his claim now that Republicans can ask questions has been undermined because now he's directing witnesses not to answer questions that he doesn't want the witness to answer if they're asked by Republicans. He's not cut off one Democrat. He's not interrupted one Democrat and told a witness not to answer Democrat members' questions. But today he started telling witnesses, the witness, not to answer questions by certain Republicans. That reeks, and by the way, if you want to talk about a Soviet-style process, again, that might be what they do in the Soviet Union, not in the United States of America. We can't stand for this. The American people are being denied equal justice.
And remember, Adam Schiff walked out here yesterday after Dr. Kupperman has filed a petition with the court to get an answer, walked out here and says he needed to stand up for the rights of Congress to get answers. Our witness today is under subpoena. He's supposed to answer the questions from members of the United States Congress, not just members from the majority of the United States Congress. When it's a subpoena from Congress, we all get to ask the questions, and Adam Schiff doesn't get to say, oh, you can answer our questions, witness, but you can't answer the Republicans' questions.
Now, do you think this is a fair process? I think it's fundamentally unfair. And this is an excellent point. These people are testifying because a judge issued a subpoena that they have to testify and answer questions from Democrats and Republicans, yet the chairman of the committee is not allowing witnesses to answer questions. This is a fundamentally corrupt process. Forget about a fair process. It should be, as Jordan mentioned, Schiff says in the opening, none of the testimony is classified. Well, if it's not classified, let's have it in the public. Let the public decide what's going on. Instead, what is Schiff doing? He leaks to the press what he wants the narrative to be, and leaves out important testimony. And the next story, I'm going to get into that, because there was another witness that testified and said, he was in on the entire conversation, nothing illegal happened, period.
If he's so concerned about the rights of the Congress, the rights of the legislative branch, let us get our questions asked and answered, but he won't do that today.
Mr. Jordan, thank you all. Other than questions designed to figure out who the whistleblower is, were there other questions that Mr. Schiff wanted?
I disagree with the premise of your question. We're trying to figure out who we want to call as potential. Just a few weeks ago, you guys asked us who we would call. We gave you a list. We have other names too that we give you.
A more expansive idea of which questions you asked them.
I can't get into the specific questions we asked. What I'll tell you is, after certain events that took place in July, we asked the witness, whom didn't you speak with? And Adam Schiff says, can't do that. Thank you all.
It's clear Pelosi needs to declare a mistrial. This has been a tainted process from the start. What happened today confirms even worse just how poorly Adam Schiff is handling this process and denying the ability for Republicans to even ask basic questions that are critical to the heart of whether or not a president of the United States is impeached. This is, by the way, something that Hamilton himself warned against. When he was writing in the Federalist Papers, expressing concerns about how Congress would handle impeachment, this is exactly what he talked about. This stinks to high heaven. This shouldn't be allowed, not in the United States of America.
Now, in a related story, there was a witness. He was President Trump's National Security Council expert on Russia. Now, what I'm going to play is parts of an excerpt from a Fox reporter reporting on what he said.
This witness seemed to have a sixth sense about the July 25th phone call between President Trump and the Ukrainian president, telling investigators today that he thought it would leak given Washington's highly polarized environment. And according to this testimony obtained by Fox News, Tim Morrison said, quote, "I want to be clear, I was not concerned that anything illegal was discussed." Morrison sat on the National Security Council and has direct knowledge of the call. And significantly, after allegations the White House released transcript was tampered with, Morrison said today, quote, "To the best of my recollection, the MEMCOM," that's a short form for memorandum of the call, "accurately and completely reflects the substance of the call. After the call, I promptly asked the National Security Council legal advisor and his deputy to review it." Morrison said he had no reason to believe the Ukrainians knew the aid was suspended until late August, and that timing matters because it's 5 weeks after the president's conversation with President Zelensky. And it was not until early September, Morrison said, that he had reason to believe the aid was tied to a public statement from Ukraine reopening the investigation into the energy firm where Hunter Biden sat on the board. And for more context, that was just days later that the aid was released. A source familiar with the deposition said to Fox today Morrison undercut Lieutenant Colonel Vindman, who has been described as a star witness for Democrats, saying he was warned about Vindman's judgment. And on at least one occasion, he said Vindman, who began his Army service nearly two decades ago, went outside the chain of command on Ukraine.
A couple of points. He said he heard nothing illegal in the conversation, and that the memorandum, the memorandum summarizing the call indicates that. There was no quid pro quo. The Ukrainians weren't even aware of the delay in the aid to the Ukraine until August. And yes, the Ukrainian government, specifically the prosecutor, announced that they were going to investigate Burisma, the gas company that hired Biden's son, paying him $83,000 a month for 5 years, monthly, and his friend. Nice work if you can get it. Knew nothing about oil and gas, knew nothing about investments, nothing about the Ukraine. I know more about oil and gas investments in the Ukraine than you that Biden's son ever knew. But see, my name's not Biden, and they wouldn't hire me for anything. The American people smell a rat, and this ultimately is going to undo the Biden campaign. He's getting the tag, not only being creepy, sleepy, and dopey, but now crooked, and I think it fits. Now, how do the Washington Post, New York Times spin it? And they spin it because this is what Adam Schiff tells us, that this witness backed the other witnesses. Nonsense. He didn't. He questioned the credibility of the lieutenant colonel. Now, what's all this nonsense about the whistleblower? All the news, I won't say all, but most of the news organizations in Washington have known the name of the whistleblower for months, months. And Donald Trump knows the name of the whistleblower. Everyone's being cute here. Too cute. I think they should come out and said it. I did it on the last show, and other people have. Let me just play one. This is Glenn Beck. He's one of several have named it. Not playing cute. It's Eric Ciaramella.
I have the name of the whistleblower. I have the name of the whistleblower today. And see if you can figure out why they're doing everything they can to keep this man's name out of the press. All right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, this is according to Real Clear Investigations and Paul Sperry. He says, more than 2 months after the official file was filed by this complainant, pretty much all that is known publicly about the whistleblower is that he's a CIA analyst who at one point was detailed at the White House and is now back working at the CIA. The name of the government official that fits that description is one. I'm just going to call him Eric for now. He's been raised privately in impeachment depositions, according to officials with direct knowledge of the proceedings, as well as with one open hearing held by the House committee not involved in the impeachment inquiry. Fearing their anonymous witness could be exposed, Democrats have blocked Republicans this week from asking any questions about him. and intend to redact his name from all deposition transcripts. They fear for his life, you see. Real Clear Investigations is disclosing the name because of the public interest in learning details of an effort to remove a sitting president from office. Further, the official's status as a whistleblower is complicated by his being a hearsay reporter of accusations against the president and one who has an arguable political bias in favor of a rival political candidate.
Arguable?
Now let's just listen.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, federal documents reveal that the 30-year-old man, a registered Democrat, a holdover from the Obama White House, previously worked for Vice President Joe Biden, but also former CIA Director John Brennan. He was a vocal critic of Trump, and he helped initiate the Russia collusion investigation of the Trump campaign during the 2016 election. Furthermore, Mr. Charamella, let me just go ahead and throw that out, left his national security posting in the White House West Wing in mid-2017 amid concerns about negative leaks to the media. He has since returned to the CIA headquarters in Langley. So remember when they were looking for all the leaks from the White House? This is not only the whistleblower, he was the source of the leaks. He was accused of working against Trump and leaking against Trump, says a former NSC official speaking on the condition of anonymity to discuss intelligence matters. Also, he huddled for guidance with the staff of House Intelligence Committee Chairman Adam Schiff, including former colleagues also held over from the Obama era, whom Schiff's office has recently recruited and hired from the NSC. Charamella worked with a Democratic National Committee operative who dug up dirt on Trump during the campaign during the 2016 election. Now, Pat, so far it's bad, right? Don't you think?
yeah, I think so.
So far it's bad.
It seems bad for Democrats. And it's not surprising they wanted to keep him anonymous.
Right, because he was the leaker at the White House.
Yeah.
He's an Obama holdover that worked for Joe Biden.
Yeah.
Right?
Democratic operative.
Well, he worked with the DNC, a DNC operative that dug up dirt on the campaign during the 2016 election on Donald Trump. Now, who do you think that might be that he worked with?
It's a woman.
He worked. He was the one who invited this DNC operative into the White House for meetings, says former White House colleagues. The operative that he worked with was Alexandra Chalupa.
Now, I'm going to cut it off right there. Glenn goes on, and I recommend that you listen to Glenn Beck's, not only this clip, but his thorough investigation, although it's not complete, of what happened in Ukraine that the Democrats don't want you to know about, because the Ukraine were intimately interfering with the 2016 election. They're dirty. See, they accused the Republicans of what they were doing in the 2016 election. And what Trump was asking in the phone call, and I want you to investigate the Ukraine's government interference in the 2016 election, which, first of all, as President of the United States, first law officer of the country, and the fact that we have an agreement between the Ukraine and the United States to investigate corruption, this was corruption. The American people don't want to hear from the Ukrainian government. And who are they supporting? Oh, yes, Hillary Clinton. Surprise, surprise. And who was the person in the DNC? Well, you just heard her name. You see, the whistleblower was a leaker and he committed crimes when he leaked. He has some big-time exposure for leaking classified information, and he was in a position to do it. He was in the loop. Now, I'll be the first one to say it's the responsibility of President Trump to get these rats, these spies, out of the administration. And he was well known to be biased. He didn't hide it very well, but he was a leaker before he was a whistleblower. And technically, I don't think he's a whistleblower, because when you whistleblow on the agency you work for when they're doing something wrong. You don't whistleblow on the president. Not only is this not his job, but he wasn't in on the phone conversation. That alone means he has no credibility. As far as I'm concerned, it's hearsay, and that's exactly what they've characterized. The only thing he can testify is what he heard others say, and maybe one or two of them were on the phone conversation. That's why it's critical that the Republicans call witnesses to refute testimony of the witnesses that the chairman of the Intelligence Committee, Adam Schiff, is calling. By Schiff selectively leaking and spinning what these witnesses have said, you get the opposite conclusion. Morrison wasn't backing the other witnesses. He made it very clear in the opening of his statement that nothing illegal happened or improper, and no one messed with the memorandum of conversation. The MCON, they always have these cute little acronyms. So I think the Republicans are right complaining about this. This is beyond complaint. This is a railroading of the president. It's not going to meet muster. It's not fair on its face. It's not fair on its face. And Schiff's staff was doing what? Helping the whistleblower. And now they're helping people that work with the whistleblower to get his people on their staff. Crooked politicians just being crooked politicians. It's not a fair inquiry, impeachment inquiry. That's the point. And because of that, it takes time, but the truth will out, and the American people don't stand for this, and Trump is going to make hay out of this. Now, what is Trump saying about the whistleblower? And I was curious. And let me say why I'm looking for this. To listen to the Pronk Pop Show, you need to go to my companion blog for the show, which is pronkpops.wordpress.com. That's Pronk Pops, PronkPops.wordpress.com. And then for every show, I have a separate post, which includes some of the information, not all the information, or all the stories I'm covering. And the lead story by far is this impeachment inquiry rules. That's what they passed. And yes, the vote was 232, of which 231 were Democrats. One was an independent, a former Republican turncoat. And then you had 194 Republicans voting against it and two Democrats for 196. It was not a bipartisan vote. The Democratic Party has made a mistake. They're trying to use impeachment as a tool to win the 2020 election, but in the process, they're trying to cover up what really happened in the 2016 election, where the former administration of Barack Obama, high government officials, including the president, the national security advisor, his attorney general, the deputy attorney general, the FBI director, the deputy FBI director, and yes, the CIA director, all of them were involved in a conspiracy to smear Trump and frame him. And it failed. And they misled the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act court. You're supposed to verify all the information in any warrant application, and the FBI did not do it, even though it's signed by the FBI director saying they did. It was unverifiable, and Comey eventually testified to that in Congress. There is no way to verify this. But that's the origins of the Russians were helping Trump. No, they weren't. What the Democrats were doing is paying for Russian information to smear Trump. And now we know they were using the Ukrainians as well. Now, let me say, just so I'm not naive, there's nothing wrong with opposition research if it's done correctly, which I mean you get legitimate sources. If you find dirt, let's say a congressman has an alcohol problem and he's gotten a number of traffic tickets for driving drunk, that's legitimate. But what's not legitimate is making up information, and that's what the Christopher Steele dossier did. What Christopher Steele was a former British intelligence officer, retired from about 10 years before he was hired here. And he didn't go to Russia. He just made phone calls to people that he knew in Russia, most of them in the government, And they got him these rumors for money. They paid for dirt. The problem with the dirt is there's no way to verify any of it. And see, all this is coming out. The Obama administration spied, surveilled Donald Trump and his campaign using government resources. Ladies and gentlemen, that's illegal. That's a felony. And the people involved in this conspiracy, the high government officials, and yes, the people that work for him, are guilty of this. You're not supposed to engage in illegal activity. Now, I know what many of them are going to say. And I've said this earlier. Many are going to say, I was just following orders. You see, when anything like this happens, you better have an authorization, and it better be signed, and it better be from the president. Obama knew about it, wanted to be posted as to what was happening. In other words, he wanted to be in the loop. And what the people were doing were illegal. And who was running this operation? Yes, the CIA director, John Brennan, because he was trying to set up people in the Trump campaign using, hopefully, someone that they could plant in the Trump campaign. They weren't successful. Stephen Halper. So all of this is going to come out, and that is what the Democratic Party is trying to stop, or at least blunt it. They know it's coming out, because if Donald Trump wants to get reelected, and Donald Trump knows this, there are millions of Americans that voted for him for a number of reasons, but one reason was to get at the bottom of the shenanigans, the corruption in the Obama administration and what they were doing to his campaign. And that involves Hillary Clinton, Barack Obama, and high government officials, including his attorney general, Loretta Lynch, his FBI director, James Comey, their deputies, Sally Yates in Justice, and Andrew McCabe, deputy FBI director, and yes, the CIA director, and most likely the director of national intelligence, James Clapper. That is and will be the political scandal of this century. I think it's the worst scandal. And all this nonsense about impeachment inquiry rules is smoke. Don't let the smoke get in your eyes. And don't let the spinning and lies lead you to the wrong conclusion. This was a serious mistake, because who is going to be hurt here when those other shoes drop, when the announcement is made in the press today? The grand jury investigating the Clinton-Obama-Democrat criminal conspiracy has turned in indictments against fill-in-the-blanks. That's something even big lie media must cover. So any naive people that think that Barack Obama walked on water and did no harm, oh, he turned the IRS on the American people if they were conservative. That's just one of the things he did. But this is beyond the pale. Why did he do it? Because the first thing when I heard this, I said, is he that stupid? That was my reaction. Is he that stupid? Well, the answer is yes. Why? He knew he could do it, and he thought he would get away with it. And what I mean by that Hillary Clinton first would be the nominee, and he fixed that. James Comey did on the 5th of July, and she would get elected. Unfortunately, that second didn't happen, and that's why we're on the eve of destruction, serious destruction of the Obama administration, and many Democrats are going to lose their office, especially in the House, but also in the Senate. What's been happening is a smear campaign directed by the Democratic Party and its operatives in the former administration, and it continued up to now. They got the Mueller investigation going when they had absolutely no evidence in the file that either Trump or anyone in his campaign were colluding with the Russians involving the Trump campaign. Now, some of you are going to say, what about Paul Manafort? Oh, yeah, he committed crimes, but it was before he ever worked for Trump, and he didn't work for Trump less than 90 days. He was hired to be campaign manager, and after the convention, he was fired. The mistake Trump made is they didn't vet him. If they had vetted Paul Manafort, he never would have been hired. And that's one of my biggest sore point is you're supposed to vet your people. Background checks is another way to say it. If they had done a thorough background check, Paul Manafort would never be hired, and he might still be out of jail. So yeah, there were people in Trump's campaign that they lied to the FBI. They were set up by the FBI. And all of this is going to come out. See, I think General Flynn ultimately the judge is going to say what the government did was beyond the pale. Go free and sin no more. Because the FBI agents that went to interview him, this is like, I think, the second or third day of the administration. You know, they waltz in, would like to talk to you. Normally, when the FBI wants to talk to anyone in the White House, they go to the White House counsel. They didn't do that. And even after asking him questions about it, another telephone conversation, and that's something I need to emphasize. This is one that also had a transcript. In this case, the National Security Agency or the FBI or both have transcripts. Now, I need to emphasize something. Most executives, most people that are busy, you know, I was in sales. I was on the phone all the time. Do I remember phone conversations? No. No, I do not. Oh, yeah, I might know that I have an appointment on a certain date with so-and-so to discuss something. But can I recall conversations? No. The human mind is not equipped that way. It's not a recording device. So if you want to trip some up in a perjury trap, you compare what he says with the transcript. And people are going to just forget the details. Period. It's like these shows. Do I recall exactly what I said? No. I'd be hard-pressed to tell you what were the stories I was covering. There's no script here. I'm not reading anything. But there is a transcript. Who has the transcript? Who? I shouldn't say. Who has a copy besides me of the podcast that I will be posting? I'm a little behind, but I'll catch up on that probably by Monday. For sure. This is the Thursday show. By Monday evening, I'll have it up. I just have other things, and this is priority, but I'm a little behind. Bear with me. Who has a copy of it, word for word, of the original broadcast as well as the podcast? The National Security Agency. Anything that goes over the internet, who automatically keeps a copy of it? They're the ultimate backup. The National Security Agency. Because if they ever make me a target for whatever reason, whether it's justified or not, what do? They aggregate all the information they have on me, including my radio shows or any emails. Like before the show, I was hearing an email from my brother, some information I wanted him to help me out. And guess what? The National Security Agency has that. And when he replies, the National Security Agency will have a copy of that. Now, let me quickly say, I'm not a paranoid. I'm not. Why do they do this? Because if you're ever made a target for whatever reason, whether it's justified or not, they can go back and see who are you talking to. I'm explaining this because guess what the National Security Agency and the FBI were doing to Donald Trump and the Republican campaign using federal assets? And this is illegal. They were spying on him, surveilling him. They made him a target, ladies and gentlemen. And if they can do it to Donald Trump and high-level people in his campaign, they can do it to anybody. That's how bad the system is. And our representatives, whether representatives or senators, are not doing anything about it. In other words, the intelligence community for the last dozen years or more has been turned on the American people, all the American people. But don't take it personally. They're doing with everyone on the planet. Every single person on the planet, if they communicate over the internet or the telephone, chances are the National Security Agency has a copy of it. Remember, hard drives, solid state hard drives are cheap. I know the price is going down. And they have these data centers, several of them, accumulating all this information. Now, I'm for spying on foreigners that don't wish as well, whether it's communist China, Russia, the Islamic Republic, Iran, North Korea. Oh, there's a long list of bad guys. And that's really who they should be focusing on. Instead, they were surveilling, spying on Donald Trump. That's the crime. That is a crime. It's not a conspiracy theory. It's a criminal conspiracy. And that's what they're trying to cover up. They know this is coming, starting probably in either late November, December, with the Inspector General's report on the FISA application process. Now, remember, the Inspector General of the Department of Justice cannot prosecute. He can submit a referral. That's why it's important that we learned a week or two ago that the U.S. Attorney has turned this investigation now into a criminal matter. In other words, they have found crimes. I think they've found a number of crimes. Remember, though, you got to prove in court beyond a reasonable doubt that these people did the crime. And that's why it takes a while to do the investigation. And then the U.S. attorneys, think of them as the prosecutors, have to review the evidence. And if they can prove it in court, they're going to take it to a grand jury. And then they're going to take it to a court. And they usually win in court. It's over 80%. That they win. So if you get indicted and they take and they prosecute you, your chances of winning are not slim and none, but they're few and far between. But I know what many of these people, I know that the defense that they're going to, many of these people are going to say, well, president authorized this. The president authorized this. Obama is culpable here. And he knew what he was doing. You better believe it. Remember, these are, most of these people are attorneys from Harvard Law School. How about the ethics of Harvard Law School? Please. And I'm not picking on Harvard. All these lawyers, it's shameful behavior what they're doing. We got bought and paid politicians, and now we got at the highest level of government crooked, corrupt politicians. That's what they are. They broke their oath of office, and they did it for political reasons. That's what makes it a crime. And let me make clear, and I've said this before, if they truly had the evidence that Donald Trump was conspiring with Putin and the Russians or the Ukrainians, I mean, solid proof, don't you think they would show it to you by now? It'd be on every newscast. They're desperate. The Democratic Party is desperate because they know once the indictment are announced, and they will be next year. It literally hits the fan, and a lot of people are going to have a lot of explaining to do. But it remains to be seen, is that going to happen? I think it will, because I believe in the integrity of the Attorney General Bill Barr and his appointed prosecutor. See, I've been waiting for this for years. Hillary Clinton had committed many, many crimes, including obstruction of justice, when she destroyed evidence that was under subpoena. That's just one. And posted classified information on her server, which is a no-no, many times. And her staff did it too. It should have been taken to court. She should have remained under FBI investigation. If they did that, she never would have got the nomination. You don't run for president of the United States being under FBI investigation. Not once, twice. First for her email server, and second for what was happening in the Clinton Charitable Foundation. Play for play. All of this should come out, or at least a large chunk of it will. And a number of people, if they're found guilty by a jury of their peers, should be going to prison. Now, that's not going to happen in 2020 or 2021. At the earliest, maybe 2022, 2023, we'll see. The American people are outraged that there seems to be a dual justice system, one for all the American people, where we have to comply with all the laws and regulations, most of them we know little or nothing about, why the Democrat leadership, politicians, politically connected people break the law, know the laws that they're breaking, and never see a day in court, much less several years in prison. And that's where they belong. Now, I have one other story that I want to at least get into, and that is what's happening with the trade negotiations with China. Now, we're being told that, well, they're going to divide it up into part one and part two, and we might have an agreement on part one. We're getting close. And maybe sometime this month, China and the United States will sign something on part one. Now, I've been saying all along that the problem with the Chinese, you can't trust them. You know, Trump's right that the Chinese government has been taking advantage of our so-called elite. I call them the incompetents. You know, they like to call me and other people the deplorables, people that shop at Walmart. I shop at Walmart, not for groceries, but for items that I need. But we're the deplorables, the Walmart deplorables. Yet the elite have let China get away with it and join the World Trade Organization, the WTO. The problem is going to be enforcement of any of the terms and conditions that the United States and China come to terms with. Remember, we were close to a deal, had all the language worked out, and what did the Chinese do? They took it all back. Par for the course. They wasted a lot of time, took it all back, and we had to start over again. The key will be enforcing an agreement. It's the enforcement provisions and whether they really will be able to enforce when China inevitably breaks the treaty. It's up to Trump to make sure that any trade agreement between the United States and China, oh yeah, it has to be fair and reciprocal. And I don't think the Chinese will never agree to the language that truly could be enforced. Now, they might agree to language that they know there's no way the United States could enforce it. They'll agree to that any day of the week. So wait and see. I think we're a long, long, long way for really a long-term, mutually agreeable trade agreement. And part of the problem is we've had past administrations, Democrat and Republican, that simply weren't tough enough negotiators with the Communist Chinese. We all thought they were going to be, if we treated them nice, we were nice guys, that they would become more democratic, more like us. Instead, the regime has gotten more authoritarian, bordering on totalitarian. And remember, you're really negotiating with the Chinese Communist Party, and they don't play fair. They play for keeps, but they don't play fair. They want to replace the United States of America as a superpower, and they have a plan that they're working on to do that. You know, there's an excellent book, The 100-Year Marathon, subtitled China's Secret Strategy to Replace America as the Global Superpower by Michael Pillsbury. I recommend you read it. You're not going to get a final, complete, enforceable deal with China. That's the reality. That's why I say, ultimately, the only way you're going to force Chinese hands, the Chinese Communist plans, and I even think this would not make them agree to anything, is a total and complete embargo with all trade to China. The United States has many sources of goods and services, not only in this country, but other countries. China is not the only game in town. Now, what is it that attracts U.S. businesses to China? It's 1,400 million people, 1.4 billion. They're the country with the largest population. But keep in mind, a lot of those people in the in China are not Chinese. And there have been revolts. There have been terrorism against the Chinese Communist Party. The Uyghurs is a good example of that. Now, why would the Chinese Communist Party go after the Uyghurs? Well, what's in their country? Oh, natural resources. Coal, oil, natural gas, and other minerals in the mountains surrounding where the Uyghurs live. That's why they put many of these people in what we would call a concentration camp. They would call a re-education institution. It looks like a prison, folks. These are persecuted people, and they're brainwashing them. That's what they're trying to do. And I wish Donald Trump would stop, and I mean stop, praising their new emperor, Xi. He's an emperor. He's a tyrant. He's a dictator. And he's not going to negotiate an enforceable agreement with the United States. And eventually, Donald Trump will figure that out. I think he's starting to figure it out. So, okay, they might shake hands and come to agreement on part one, and we'll sell a lot of agriculture commodities. What the Chinese need is raw materials, commodities, including agricultural goods, and they'll buy it, as much of that as they need. And that's oil, natural gas, coal, our farm products. What won't they buy? What they can produce in their own country. What they're stealing is our property, our intellectual property, our trade secrets, our industrial processes, and then they set up their own companies to compete with the American companies that are foolish enough to think they know how to deal with the Communist Chinese Party. They're fools. Make them buy the goods produced in the United States. Don't go over there and build plants so that Communist Chinese can steal the processes and the know-how to build the products, and before you know it, you have, if not the same product, close to it being produced by a competitive Chinese company owned by either the Communist Chinese Party or the People's Liberation Army. Wake up, wake up. And it's only since Donald Trump was elected president that we finally have a leader that's zeroing in on this rather pathetic deal. And like I said, past administrations are guilty of this. We're finally waking up to the fact that the Communist Chinese Party is a direct threat not only to our industry, but our national security. We can get our clothing our sneakers and other products from many other countries, including the United States. And that's why many U.S. companies have decided, well, maybe it's time to get out of China. Get out of Dodge. Why, the getting is good. And before the communist Chinese have stolen everything about the products and the processes to make those products. With that, I'll close it out. Well, I think something will be signed as part one. Whether we'll ever get to part two, I seriously doubt it. I think eventually Donald Trump will wake up. Otherwise, he can be criticized rightly for doing the same things that past Democrat and Republicans have done. And I don't think he wants that. Thank you for listening. And now, America the Beautiful.
My name is Raymond Thomas Pronk, the presenter of the Pronk Pop Show. Views expressed on this show are my own, unless otherwise stated, and do not reflect the opinion of KDUX Web Radio, Richland College, or the Dallas County Community College District. You are listening to KDUX Web Radio, broadcasting live from Richland College in Dallas, Texas. With the voice of Richland College. You are listening to the Pronk Pop Show, presented by Raymond Thomas Pronk, the People's Paladin Pronk, propagating faith, family, friends, freedom first. Broadcasted by Renaissance Radio, Radiating Reason, and KDUX Web Radio. Podcasted by PronkPops.wordpress.com. and KDUX Web Radio.wordpress.com.